This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Resource Center, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Now that we are just slipped into the campaign period, what can we expect political parties to undertake in the run-up to the elections? My guest this afternoon is Yang Berhormat Tony Puang, Member of Parliament for Petaling Jaya Utara. He's, of course, from DAP. Before we get down to the branding and marketing of political parties during this campaign period, I'd like you to share with us the economy behind the elections. What are the existing businesses that will be benefiting from DAP's campaign expenditure?
Well, I think a lot of businesses will benefit somewhat overall from campaign expenditure, but many of our suppliers and contractors have been supporters of the party as well over fairly long period of time. So very often they provide us with budget services, which means that they don't charge a lot for printing, for stuff. But there's a whole economy behind it, from printers in particular, people who put up billboards, your volunteer workers who will come and hang up all your streamers, mm-hmm. your rockers, your buntings, your posters, etc., to advertising agencies, to newspapers, who suddenly found that, you know, all political parties wants to publish their political ads, to now, for example, social media spending. A lot of people are spending money on advertising on YouTube now, on Facebook, on blogs, banners, and so on.
You tap into the existing businesses that are already established in the country.
Yeah.
Does anything come from outside the country?
I think a lot of the collaterals that we use, for example, the mass collaterals, like the what we call the streamers with the party logo on it, or the buntings with the standardized party logo symbols and designs, or the party flags are usually printed overseas because it's a lot cheaper in China than, say, locally. And I think that applies to both sides of the political divide. And most of these items will have to be ordered at least 3 to 6 months in advance for sufficient time for printing as well as shipping from China to Malaysia.
China is the source.
For cheap products, yes.
How much of the expenditure that goes overseas and how much really stays within the country?
I think the bulk of it actually stays within the country, because when you're talking about actual campaign work, you're talking about sound system, stage, you're talking about venue booking, you're talking about paying your volunteers to hang up the streamers and buntings, you're talking about the local immediate, because very often your candidates aren't decided until very last minute. So the candidates cannot print their posters until quite last minute. So all this printing will still have to be done locally. So the overwhelming bulk of the expenditure, I would estimate to be in the region of 75%, will still be local.
Now, you've been a businessman before. In what ways is this kind of running this kind of campaign similar to like running a business and it's your marketing and branding?
It's very similar in the sense that you have to sell your products. In this case, instead of a software or instead of a plush toy, you're selling a political party, you're selling dreams to the people, you're selling them what you can do, or you're selling them your candidates, you know, how you can tell them these candidates will do much better. So it's similar in that sense. You have to make sure that you know your audience, you know who you're selling the products to, you know what they want, and you have to be targeted. Different types of market wants different things. The young want different things. The old are looking for different things. The different racial groups have different concerns and interests. Different religious bodies will have different ones. And how do you piece all this together into a coherent message? That is crucial.
And different parts of the country would have different requirements.
Absolutely.
How long ago did the party start planning its election campaign?
This campaign was probably the longest ever, 4 years ago.
But in terms of the activities that you can carry out during the formal campaign period?
Well, for formal campaign periods, the activities will be your nightly dramas and your, what do you call it, the posters that you need to put up, your hanging on streamers, where you're going to put them up, where you're going to put up your billboards. Those are the specific activities only during the campaign period. In terms of those activities, the planning probably really got started a year and a half ago. So it has been a long and draggy process, but it has started at least 1.5 years ago.
And of course, during that period, you also started to plan for your TVCs and all that?
Well, we started planning what videos we would like to put out during the election campaign. And as time passed, we essentially collected more and more and more videos because, oh, we've just finished that. Shall we do some more since election is not around the corner yet? So it's sort of a adjust along the way that process. You can say that you're ready, but you're never ready enough. So if it gets extended by another year, we'll do more.
How do the component parties within the alliance that you guys have formed, how do you guys coordinate, or is each basically responsible for itself?
Well, both. Each party definitely have to be responsible for your own candidates. After all, we are individual political parties, but there's a high degree of collaboration and cooperation between the three parties in these elections compared to, say, the previous elections. In current elections, for example, at the state level, we have a war room committee between the three parties, DAP, PAS and PKR, who will then collaborate in terms of the campaign teams, campaign contacts, to ensure a cross-fertilization of not only ideas, but in terms of work to be carried out during the election period for a particular constituency. And this is particularly relevant for constituencies where you have one parliament, two state seats contested by three different parties. So there's a lot of synergies that can be derived from having a joint campaign effort by all three parties. So your ceramahs can be combined, for example, catering to all your three audiences. Your, what you call it, leaflets and materials can be shared if it is there are common issues involved, etc.
There is perceived differences amongst the parties. In the election campaign, you have, like any kind of brand we always talk about, you need to have a consistent and uniform and united message. How do you go about creating that when there are perceived differences?
There are absolute differences between the three parties, or we will not be three parties. Otherwise, you might as well just combine into one particular party. But what is important is perhaps 90 to 95% of those perception is perceived similarities. You know, our parties, for example, fight for transparency, fight for competency, fight for accountability. Those are the issues, a common stand between all three parties. So for us, is to make sure that the common stand of the three parties exceed the negative perception of any differences that we may have. For us, we believe that the track record speaks for itself, particularly in Selangor, where we have ruled over the past 5 years, and we have shown that similarities outweigh the differences.
And that the differences do not need to be discussed?
The differences have been discussed ad nauseum. And I believe that the people who are out there who are concerned have heard the concerns many, many times. And we have repeatedly attempted to assuage these fears.
Yang Berhormat Tony Puan from DAP, who is a Member of Parliament for the Petaling Jaya Utara. Coming up, what's happening on the social media side and at the same time on television, the media. This is Resource Centre on BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Resource Centre. As part of the coming 13th general elections, we have invited Yang Berhormat Tony Puan, the Member of Parliament for Petaling Jaya Utara, to share with us how DAP is rolling out its campaign activities. How will you be engaging with the media?
Well, it's tough for us. It is tough because the media landscape has traditionally been controlled by the ruling parties. They are owned by the ruling political parties. And it is often difficult for us to get our message through. And the difference in the last elections, 2008, and particularly so today, is we are able to tap into new media sources, particularly the social media, in order to transmit our message out to the public. It is not necessarily the most effective to target all audiences. Those who are in the 70s probably wouldn't be on social media. But it gives us a fair shot and having our messages being received by the voters out there.
I mean, there's some talk about monitoring social media and maybe even to sanction some things. How will that impact what you do?
Unless they shut down social media, we can't see how they can influence the effectiveness of the social media either way, whether for us or for themselves. So it is an animal of its own, social media. Nobody can tame it, not us, not them. And any attempts to tame it may just backfire on the parties involved.
How have you organized yourself to leverage on social media? Do you have like assigned teams taking care of that?
We do have teams specializing in social media, but perhaps not in the way that many would have thought about. We don't have a team of cyber troopers, for example, bugging or monitoring the tweets of every single Barisan national leader and responding to them. No, we don't have that. But we do have a team of creative directors, artists, idea people who can come up with innovative methods to deliver our message, the message we want to deliver. For example, we are clean and accountable. If that's the message we want to deliver, how do we best deliver this message to the people at the other end of the social media? Which means that, no, do you just write, Pakatan Rakyat is clean and transparent? Is that going to excite the people receiving the message? Or is some other creative ways or ingenious ways more interesting for these users? Yeah.
Now, I know people use blogs, and I'm also aware that some political parties pay bloggers. And these are bloggers who have somehow caught their attention and they are paying them to kind of speak a particular line. Is that something you engage in?
No, we don't do that for two reasons. One, we don't think that that would be particularly effective. Number two, we can't afford it. So we have to rely on the free elements of the social media to get our message out.
We'll come to the thing about money and budgets a little later. Talking about television ads, just now I asked you about, you know, whether you'll be using TV ads. Is there a value in TV ads or anything that's video that is negative?
I believe in any political campaign, you won't run away from having both a negative and a positive campaign. A campaign should not be overly negative to the extent that your entire message is based on negativity. But a campaign would probably not be able to run away from negative elements in the sense that you have to tell the voters why the other side will be worse off for you. At the same time, you have to tell the voters why voting for you would be positive for the voters. What we are avoiding at all costs is negative ads that are based on untruths or negative ads that assassinate characters unjustly.
Well, I've seen the something that with your name attached to it, this Gangnam style that came out of your of creative works. Now, don't you think that's negative?
That is negative fun.
A question of semantics?
No, I think negativity would be when you, as an example, accuse a particular top-ranking official's wife of committing murder with no evidence attached. But negativity is, or rather the elements that can be allowed is, for example, a particular official enjoys having a luxury product worn on him or her. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. And you can pin that.
Hmm. Okay. So satire is allowed.
Satires are absolutely allowed.
That's not considered negative.
It is. I'm not saying it's not negative, but I think they are fair.
Okay. Now, I think I've asked you, how much will DAP be spending on this campaign?
Depends on whether you're talking about DAP headquarters or DAP individual candidates. Individual candidates are allowed, for parliamentary candidates, are allowed up to 200,000 ringgit per person. And for state assembly candidates are allowed up to 100,000 ringgit per person. And on the assumption that we have approximately 100 state assembly candidates and 50 parliamentary candidates, you're looking at a overall budget size of 10 million plus 10 million, 20 million. And take half of that, just spending half of the allowed limit will make it 10 million. But that's at individual campaign level, which is one of the reasons why all our branches throughout the country carry out fundraising dinners. So all the money raised are raised locally and spent locally. So that's the local expenditure. Then you have got the headquarters expenditure where we carry out, for example, print advertisements. Now, print advertisements are unfortunately very costly. Every day, if you would cover 5, 6 Chinese newspapers plus 2 or 3 English papers plus 1 or 2 Tamil papers and plus 1 or 2 Malay papers who allow you to advertise, you are looking at a budget of easily 150,000 a day. And that's half a page. We're not even talking about full page advertisements. Half a page advertisements, 150,000 a day. A 2 weeks campaign period will cost you another 2 million ringgit. So the funding required for headquarters, probably for an effective campaign, you're looking at a few million ringgit.
So there is a division between what the individual candidate can spend and the headquarters.
Yeah.
That's considered separate.
Under the law at this point in time, individual candidates' expenditure are regulated, but party expenditure are completely unregulated, which puts us actually on a very unfair footing. But that's the reality we face.
It means that whoever has a larger war chest stands to spend more and have greater reach.
That's right.
If you do that, you are not stepping outside the law.
The law, as stated by the Election Commission, states very explicitly, and he clarified this in a press interview recently by the Election Commission chairman, that party expenditure is not regulated by law. Only candidate expenditure.
Now, what kind of message is a political party sending out when it breaches election rules and places campaign materials in public places like buntings between telephone poles, banners on public fences, even before the campaign period has been announced by the Election Commission?
The Election Offences Act specifically mentions that no campaigning is allowed before the nomination day. And that usually is taken to mean that you can't have flags saying Undi Party ABC. You cannot have that cross sign next to the Undi. But we see that everywhere. To be fair, we see that of both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, we're a bit more careful. We ensure that we don't do that. We do campaign. To say that we don't campaign, that's wrong, because we do have our charamas. And in our charamas, we are pulling for votes. We avoid the obvious, what do you call it, obvious election campaign breaches, such as Undila DAP in our pre-campaign events.
So as long as those words are not there, any rocket signs, any charamas, that's okay.
It's a bit of an archaic ruling.
A grey area.
Yeah.
Tony Puan from DAP, who is a Member of Parliament for the Petaling Jaya Utara. This is Resource Centre's election special on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.